من يرد الله به خيرا يفقهه في الدين.
And none of them would ever say about someone who prays our way, a disbeliever he's become, because of some sin he's done. The Jews split into 71 sects, the Christians into 72, and our Ummah has split into 73. All the groups, all the names, sects, all the labels, all in the fire, except for one group. One label Allah has ordered us with, and only one. Ayyuhal Muslimoon. We are called Muslims. Welcome to Outlining Fiqh. We have with us today Sheikh Abu Toba and several students of fiqh from around the world. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
And this is a summary of Islamic jurisprudence by Sheikh Saleh Fozan. We are in Unit 5, Chapter 14. How are you doing, Sheikh?
Alhamdulillah, I'm doing good. Alhamdulillah, let's get started.
Naam. Unit 5 is the unit on inheritance, and Chapter 14 is inheritance of siblings with the paternal grandfather. And this is on page number 306, if you're following along in the PDF file, and page 289, if you're in the printed English translation. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Inheritance of siblings with the paternal grandfather. With regard to this case, Imam Ahmed, Imam Ash-Shafi'i, and Imam Malik adopted the opinion stated by Zayd ibn Thabit, may Allah be pleased with him. Also, Abu Yusuf and Muhammad ibn al-Hasan, the two disciples of Imam Abu Hanifa, as well as many of the men of religious knowledge, have adhered to this opinion. According to this opinion, there are three cases of the siblings existing with the paternal grandfather. 1. They may be full siblings. 2. They may be paternal half-siblings. 3. They may include both types, full siblings and paternal half-siblings. In this respect, if the siblings with the paternal grandfather are either full or paternal half-siblings, the grandfather has two cases with them. The first case, when there is no other heir by virtue of prescribed share. In such a case, there are three cases for the paternal grandfather as follows. A. When the muqasama entitles the paternal grandfather to get more than one-third of the estate. The criterion of this case is that the sibling's share is less than double the paternal grandfather's share. For example, their share can be equal to 1.5 of the paternal grandfather's share, or less than that. This case involves five forms. 1. The deceased's paternal grandfather and one sister of the deceased. In this case, the paternal grandfather gets two-thirds of the estate. 2. The paternal grandfather and one brother. In this case, the grandfather gets one-half of the estate. 3. The paternal grandfather and two sisters. In this case, he gets half the estate, similar to the second form, which is more than one-third. 4. The paternal grandfather and three sisters. In this case, he gets two-fifths, which are more than one-third. 5. The paternal grandfather and one brother and one sister. In this case, the grandfather gets two-fifths, just like the fourth case. B. When the paternal grandfather gets one-third of the estate, whether through the muqasama or not. The criterion of this case is that the sibling's share is double the paternal grandfather's share. This case involves three forms. 1. The deceased's paternal grandfather and two brothers. 2. The paternal grandfather and one brother and two sisters. 3. The paternal grandfather and four sisters. In these forms, the paternal grandfather gets one-third of the estate, whether through the muqasama or not. With regard to this issue, there is disagreement among scholars whether the paternal grandfather is to receive his share, which is one-third, through the muqasama as an agnate relative, or receive it as a prescribed share. or that he is to be given the option to receive it through either of the two ways. Some scholars give preponderance to the opinion that the paternal grandfather is to receive one-third of the estate as a prescribed share, rather than the muqasima. This is because considering the prescribed share, whenever possible, is worthier, for the prescribed share has more consideration. Moreover, those entitled to prescribed shares are given preponderance to the agnate relatives, and Allah, exalted be He, knows best. Sheikh, what is the muqasima?
That's when you're dividing up the portion, what is left, because the other relatives are not there, or there has to be a share because they're on the same level.
Okay, you're dividing, let me write this down, you're dividing portions.
No, you're dividing the whatever's remaining.
Oh.
So you're dividing it up because the remainder is supposed to go back to, let's say, a male, or what's supposed to be divided, because there is no other male relatives except for the grandfather. Now, remember, the grandfather is not going to get it unless there is nobody under him, except for in the last case where there was one child. You get my point?
Yes, sir. I understand that.
So they're saying, okay, now, who on his level is supposed to inherit if they're the only ones left? And so it's supposed to be divided between these people, and they say one third. So this one's supposed to get two thirds of it. He's supposed to get two thirds of the estate, or one third of the estate, or half of it. Why is he getting such a big amount? Because no one else is left. You understand?
Naam. Is this the same as agnation or something different?
No, this is the... agnation is always in effect. Agnation is just that he's blocking someone else. Okay? Or not being blocked by someone else. That's basically what it is, hijab. Okay? But this is not agnation. This is, what's the word I'm not, like kalala. Like when there's no one else to inherit except the grandfather and the other people that he mentioned. How do you deal with it? You get my point? Do you understand it now?
I understand it, but I don't understand why it's different from the other concepts that we learned. I'm mixing them all up in my head.
Well, that's why I always said that this particular science of fiqh has to be studied twice. One in general and then one in detail.
Right. Okay. So should I continue?
Of course.
Okay. C. When one third of the estate yields more than the share that the paternal grandfather will get through the muqasama. In this case, the paternal grandfather gets one third of the estate as a prescribed share. This is when the sibling share is more than double his share. However, there are no limited forms for such a case, unlike the two previous cases. The least number in such a case is the existence of the deceased's paternal grandfather and two brothers and one sister, or the paternal grandfather and five sisters, or the paternal grandfather and one brother and three sisters, and upward. The second case, when there is one entitled to a prescribed share besides the deceased's paternal grandfather and siblings. There are seven cases for the paternal grandfather as follows. A. He is to get his share through the muqasama. B. He is to get one-third of the remainder of the estate after the prescribed shares are distributed. C.
Okay, so now we see that this is referring to whatever remains after what has been divided. So now whatever remains has to be is going to be split up after everybody has gotten their prescribed share. What do you do with the remaining? And the remaining is what we call a muqasima, okay?
Okay. C, he is to get 1/6 of the estate. D, when his share through the muqasima is equal to 1/3 of the remainder. E, when his share through the muqasima is equal to 1/6 of the estate. F, when his prescribed 1/6 of the estate is equal to 1/3 of the remainder. G, when his share through the muqasima is equal to 1/6 of the estate as well as 1/3 of the remainder. To tackle these cases in detail, they are as follows. A, the paternal grandfather is to get his share through the muqasima when his share through the muqasima is more than 1/3 of the remainder of the estate after the prescribed shares are distributed, as well as 1/6 of the estate. An example of this case is when the deceased has left a husband, a paternal grandfather, and one brother. That is, when the prescribed share amounts to half the estate, that goes to the husband, and the sibling's share is less than double the paternal grandfather's share. In this case, the paternal grandfather is to get his share through the muqasima as the remainder of the estate is 1/2, after giving 1/2 to the husband. The remaining half is to be equally divided between the paternal grandfather and the brother, due to the muqasima. No doubt that 1/4 of the estate is more than either 1/3 of the remainder or 1/6 of the estate.
Do you understand muqasima now?
Yes.
Okay, continue.
Thus, the estate is to be divided as follows. 1/2 is for the husband as a prescribed share, 1/4 is for the paternal grandfather, and 1/4 is for the brother. This can be illustrated in the following table. And then they give a table, which breaks it out into rows and columns. B, the paternal grandfather is to get 1/3 of the remainder of the estate after the prescribed shares are distributed. This is when 1/3 of the remainder is more than the share received through the muqasima and more than 1/6 of the estate as well. An example of such a case is when the deceased has left a mother, a paternal grandfather, and 5 brothers, and such like cases when the prescribed share is less than half the estate, namely 1/6, which goes to the mother in this case, and that the sibling's share is more than double the paternal grandfather's share. The paternal grandfather gets 1/3 of the remainder of the estate after the mother gets her prescribed share, namely 1/6. In this case, as the remaining 5/6 are to be distributed among the paternal grandfather and the 5 brothers. So, the paternal grandfather gets 1/3 of 5/6, that equals 1 2/3. And the 5 brothers take the other 2/3 of the 5/6. Undoubtedly, the 1/3 of the remainder going to the paternal grandfather is more than the share he would have gotten through the muqasima, and also more than 1/6 of the estate. However, 1/3 of the remaining 5/6 is not a natural number. Therefore, for easier calculations, we can get the common denominator by multiplying 3 by 6 and deal with the case as an 18-share estate. Thus, the mother gets her prescribed share, 1/6, that equals 3 shares, i.e. 3/18. The paternal grandfather gets 1/3 of the remainder, which equals 5 shares, i.e. 5/18. The 5 brothers get the other 2/3 of the remainder, i.e. 10/18. Each gets 2 shares, i.e. 2/18. This can be shown in the following table. And then the sheikh gives a table that breaks it all out. C, The paternal grandfather is to get one-sixth of the estate when one-sixth of the estate is more than the share he would have gotten through the muqasama, and also more than one-third of the remainder. An example of this case is when the deceased has left a husband, a mother, a paternal grandfather, and two brothers, and such like cases when the prescribed shares reach two-thirds of the estate, and that the sibling share is more than the share of the paternal grandfather. The paternal grandfather is to get one-sixth of the estate in this case, as the husband gets one-half of the estate, the mother gets one-sixth, and the remaining third of the estate go to the two brothers and the paternal grandfather. Undoubtedly, the one-sixth that goes to the paternal grandfather is more than one-third of the remainder, and also more than the share he would have gotten through the muqasama. However, dividing the remaining one-sixth of the estate is not a natural number. Therefore, for easier calculations, we can get the common denominator by multiplying 2 by 6 and deal with the case as a 12-share estate. Thus, the husband gets his one-half of the estate, namely 6 shares, i.e. 6 twelfths. The mother gets one-sixth of the estate, which is 2 shares, i.e. 2 twelfths. The paternal grandfather gets one-sixth of the estate as well, which is 2 shares, i.e. 2 twelfths. The two brothers get 2 shares, i.e. 2 twelfths, 1 share for each. This can be illustrated in the following table.
My question is, what type of math is this? Is fractions or is this algebra?
This is fractions.
Continue.
Nah. D.
When the this will be division, then, right?
This is.
Well, no.
I'm not sure if it's division, but I know it's fractions. It's multiplying the denominator of the fractions.
Yeah, so again, you see how math has a role in the whole of this in this to me it's very creative the way they come up with it, because it's after you take the shares out, and then whatever remains becomes the number. And then you use that as a divisional point, you know? So, or as a fractional point, right? So, alhamdulillah.
Naam.
Tafadhal.
D. When the paternal grandfather's share through the muqasama is equal to one-third of the remainder of the estate after the prescribed shares are distributed, and also more than one-sixth of the estate. An example of this case is when the deceased has left a mother, a paternal grandfather, and two brothers, and such like cases in which the prescribed shares are less than half the estate, and the sibling share is double the share of the paternal grandfather. The paternal grandfather's share through the muqasama is equal to one-third of the remainder of the estate, in this case, as the mother gets her one-sixth as a prescribed share, and the remaining five-sixths go to the paternal grandfather and the two brothers. The one-third of the remainder equals 1 2/3, which is equal to the paternal grandfather's share through the muqasama. However, one-third of the remainder is not a natural number. Therefore, for easier calculations, we can get the common denominator by multiplying 3 by 6 and deal with the case as an 18-share estate. Thus, the mother gets one-sixth of the estate as a prescribed share, which is 3/18. The paternal grandfather gets 5 shares, 5/18, either through the muqasama or as one-third of the remainder. The two brothers get 10 shares, 10/18, 5 shares, 5/18 for each. This is shown in the following table. And then again, we have the table breaking it out. E. When the paternal grandfather's share through the muqasama is equal to one-sixth of the estate, and that each yields more than one-third of the remainder of the estate after the prescribed shares are distributed. An example of this case is when the deceased has left a husband, a grandmother, a paternal grandfather, and one brother, and such like cases in which the prescribed shares are equal to two-thirds of the estate, and the existent sibling's share is equal to that of the paternal grandfather. The paternal grandfather's share through the muqasama is equal to one-sixth of the estate in this case, as the husband gets one-half of the estate as a prescribed share, and the grandmother gets one-sixth. The remaining two-sixths go to the paternal grandfather and the brother. The paternal grandfather gets one-sixth of the estate either through the muqasama or as a prescribed share, and the other sixth goes to the brother. This is illustrated in the following table. And there's a table there. F. When his prescribed one-sixth of the estate is equal to one-third of the remainder, after the prescribed shares are distributed. An example of this case is when the deceased has left a husband, a paternal grandfather, and three brothers, and such like cases in which the prescribed shares are equal to one-half of the estate, and the sibling share is more than double the share of the paternal grandfather. The paternal grandfather's prescribed one-sixth of the estate is equal to one-third of the remainder in this case, as the husband gets the one-half of the estate as a prescribed share, and the paternal grandfather and the three brothers share the other half. In this case, one-sixth of the estate is equal to one-third of the remainder. However, one-third of the remainder is not a natural number. Therefore, for easier calculations, we can get the common denominator by multiplying 2 by 3 and deal with the case as a 6-share estate. Thus, the husband gets 3 shares, i.e., 1 half of the estate, 3 sixths. In the same way, we get another common denominator by multiplying 3 by 6 and deal with the whole case as an 18-share estate. Accordingly, the husband gets half the estate, 9 shares as a prescribed share, namely 9/18. The paternal grandfather gets 3 shares, 3/18, and the three brothers get the other 6 shares, 6/18. This can be illustrated in the following table. And then the author gives the table. G. When the paternal grandfather's share through the muqasama is equal to one-sixth of the estate as well as one-third of the remainder after the prescribed shares are distributed. An example of this case is when the deceased has left a husband, a paternal grandfather, and two brothers, and such like cases in which the prescribed shares equal half the estate and the sibling share is double that of the paternal grandfather. The paternal grandfather's share through the muqasama is equal to one-sixth of the estate, as well as one-third of the remainder, in this case, as the husband gets half the estate, and the remaining half go to the paternal grandfather and the two brothers. Thus, one-third of the remainder, the paternal grandfather's share, through the muqasama, and the one-sixth of the estate are all equal. However, one-third of the remainder is not a natural number. Therefore, for easier calculations, we can get the common denominator by multiplying 2 by 3 and deal with the case as a 6-share estate. So, the husband gets 3 shares, 3/6, which represent half the estate. The paternal grandfather gets 1 share, 1/6, and the two brothers get the remaining 2 shares, 2/6, one for each. See the following table. Note: as for the remainder of the estate after the prescribed shares are distributed, there are 4 cases for the paternal grandfather. 1. If the remainder is more than one-sixth of the estate, the paternal grandfather gets the largest share of the 3 alternatives, namely the muqasama, one-third of the remainder or one-sixth of the estate. 2. If the remainder equals one-sixth of the estate, then it goes to the paternal grandfather as a prescribed share. 3. If the remainder is less than one-sixth of the estate, the paternal grandfather is entitled to get one-sixth of the estate as a prescribed share, and so the case is subject to the rules of Aul. 4. If there is nothing left for the paternal grandfather after dividing the prescribed shares, then the paternal grandfather is entitled to get 1/6 of the estate as a prescribed share, and so the case is subject to the rules of Aul as in the former case. In the last three cases, the siblings have no shares, except for the sister in the case called the Akdariya, on which we will elaborate later.
Is the case that's including the husband, the mother, the grandfather, and one sister?
Nam. In the last, Nam. Note, in some cases, the paternal grandfather gets 1/3 of the remainder by analogy with the mother, in the two cases known as the Umariyatan, the two rulings attributed to Umar ibn al-Khattab. This is because both the paternal grandfather and the mother are considered ascendants of the deceased. On the other hand, if there is not a legal heir entitled to prescribe the shares, each of the paternal grandfather and the mother gets 1/3 of the estate. If there is a legal heir entitled to prescribe shares, the paternal grandfather gets 1/3 of the remainder, and the remaining part goes to the siblings. When there are siblings, the paternal grandfather is not to receive 1/3 of the estate, as this will cause harm to the shares of the siblings. The paternal grandfather gets 1/6, as he does not get less than 1/6 despite the existence of the deceased's son, who is the most entitled inheriting heirs. Hence, with greater reason, the paternal grandfather's share does not decrease with other heirs. That's the end of the chapter.
Read the end notes.
End notes. 1. Siblings here refers only to the full siblings or the half-paternal ones, i.e. they must be from the same father. 2. Mukasima. It means that the paternal grandfather is regarded as one of the siblings in inheritance. 3. See Al-Fawa'id Al-Jaliyah, page 21-22, and Sharh Ash-Shanshuri ala Al-Rahbiya bi Hashiyat Al-Bayjuri, page 134-138. 4. Aul. An increase in the number of shares and a decrease in their amounts, according to the deserving parties. 5. The Akdariya, the case including a husband, a mother, a paternal grandfather, and one full sister. 6. See the footnotes in Al-Bajuri, page 138. 7. See Al-Adhb Al-Fa'id, 1 and 110.
Anyway, so the thing that should also be done is to understand those terms, look them up prior, so that you can understand what's being said, and the question of the concept is not there. But like I said, this is a subject that can't, in my estimation, be presented so straightforwardly and at the same time simple as you're going through fiqh to understand all the rest of the chapters. This deserves its own private study, you know, individual study when you finish the 38 chapters of fiqh, along with jihad. Continue.
Naam. This ends chapter 14 and we begin chapter 15, Al-Mu'adda. What has been previously discussed, namely, the inheritance of the paternal grandfather besides the siblings, is related to the case of the existence of only one type of sibling, either full siblings or paternal half-siblings. As for the case when there are a paternal grandfather, full siblings, and paternal half-siblings, then the full siblings count their paternal half-siblings in their favor against the paternal grandfather to decrease his share. Then, after the paternal grandfather takes his share, the full siblings take the share of the paternal half-siblings. If there is only one full sister existing, she gets her prescribed share in full, and the remainder goes to the paternal half-siblings. Thus,
the okay, go to. I would like you to go to the end of the chapter. Go to where it starts, chapter 16, and read the end notes first.
Okay.
Just do that first.
Nah. End notes. 1. The Mu'adda, decreasing the paternal grandfather's share by the full siblings through the existence of the paternal half-siblings, and then blocking the paternal half-siblings by the full siblings, as the latter are worthier in inheritance.
Meaning the full siblings are to be considered having more of a right than the half-siblings.
Naam. 2. See Al-Adhb Al-Fa'id 1 and 14. 3. Al-Munasakha refers to the process of redividing the estate in case a legal heir dies before the division of the inheritance of the first deceased. In such a case, the inheritance is to be redivided, taking into consideration the death of that legal heir, according to certain regulations.
Okay. Now go back to the top. Start again.
The Mu'adda. What has been previously discussed, namely, the inheritance of the paternal grandfather, besides the siblings, is related to the case of the existence of only one type of sibling, either full siblings or paternal half-siblings. As for the case when there are a paternal grandfather, full siblings, and paternal half-siblings, then the full siblings count their paternal half-siblings in their favor against the paternal grandfather to decrease his share. Then, after the paternal grandfather takes his share, the full siblings take the share of the paternal half-siblings. If there's only one full sister existing, she gets her prescribed share in full, and the remainder goes to the paternal half-siblings. Thus, the full sibling counts the paternal half-sibling against the paternal grandfather, as they are both types of siblings share the same father, and that the side of the mother of the full siblings is blocked by the existence of the paternal grandfather. So, the full sibling counts the paternal half-sibling against the paternal grandfather to decrease the latter's share in case he gets it through the muqasama, so that he gets at most one-third of the estate, or one-third of the remainder of the estate, or one-sixth of the estate. Another reason behind the mu'adda is that the full siblings and the paternal half-siblings are equally related to the paternal grandfather, as they all are his son's children. Thus, the paternal half-siblings are considered in the division of the estate, which is not in favor of the paternal grandfather.
That's why it's called mu'adda, because they're blocking, they're showing some type of animosity. You get me? Or how they're adding it up. Mu'adda, right? So, continue.
After the paternal grandfather's share decreases due to the existence of the paternal half-siblings, the full siblings block the paternal half-siblings and take their share, as if there is no paternal grandfather. When is the mu'adda considered? This method is effected when the full sibling's share is less than double than the paternal grandfather's when the full sibling's share less than double the paternal grandfather's share, and that the remainder, after distributing the prescribed shares, is more than one-fourth of the estate. But if the sibling's share is equal to double the paternal grandfather's share or more, then there will be no need to apply the mu'adda. Forms of the mu'adda. There are 68 cases in which the method of the mu'adda is applied. The reason for restricting the forms of the mu'adda to such a number is that the full sibling's share must be less than double the paternal grandfather's share. There are only 5 forms in this regard, and they are as follows. 1. A paternal grandfather and one full sister. 2. A paternal grandfather and 2 full sisters. 3. A paternal grandfather and 3 full sisters. 4. A paternal grandfather and 1 full brother. 5. A paternal grandfather and 1 full brother and 1 full sister. These 5 forms may involve paternal half-siblings, so that the sibling share may reach double the share of the paternal grandfather or less. 1. A paternal grandfather and one full sister. This form involves five possible cases as follows. One full sister and a paternal half-sister. One full sister and two paternal half-sisters. One full sister and three paternal half-sisters. One full sister and a paternal half-brother. One full sister and a paternal half-brother and a paternal half-sister. Two. A paternal grandfather and two full sisters. This form involves three possible cases as follows. Two full sisters and a paternal half-sister. Two full sisters and two paternal half-sisters. Two full sisters and a paternal half-brother. Three. A paternal grandfather and three full sisters. This form involves only one possible case. Three full sisters and one paternal half-sister. Four. A paternal grandfather and one full brother. This form involves three possible cases as follows. One full brother and one paternal half-sister. One full brother and two paternal half-sisters. One full brother and one paternal half-brother. Five. A paternal grandfather and one full brother and one full sister. This form involves one possible case. One full brother and one full sister and a paternal half-sister. The above mentioned are 13 cases, all of which may or may not include legal heirs who are entitled to prescribed shares. In case there are heirs entitled to prescribed shares, their prescribed shares may be one of the following. 1/4, 1/6, 1/4 and 1/6, 1/2. By adding the case that does not include an heir entitled to a prescribed share, they become five cases. When these five cases are multiplied by the 13 cases mentioned above, the total cases are 65. As for the 66th case, it involves a paternal grandfather, siblings, and two heirs, whose prescribed shares are 1/2 and 1/6 of the estate for each. An example of this case is the following. A paternal grandfather, one daughter, a son's daughter, one full sister, and one paternal half-sister.
So that'll be his grandpa, his granddaughter. Get it?
Nah.
Hello?
Yes, I was thinking.
Okay.
As regards the 67th case, it involves prescribed heirs who inherit two-thirds of the estate, along with the siblings and the paternal grandfather. This can be illustrated by the following example. A paternal grandfather, two daughters, one full sister, and a paternal half-sister. As for the 68th case, namely the last one, it includes two prescribed heirs entitled to 1/2 and 1/8 of the estate, along with the siblings and the paternal grandfather, such as the following case. A paternal grandfather, one daughter, a wife, one full sister, and one paternal half-sister. Is there any possibility that the paternal half-siblings get any share, along with the full siblings, in case of the mu'adda? If the full siblings include a male brother, or two or more full sisters, then there is no possibility that the paternal half-siblings can get any share of the estate. However, if there is only one full sister, she gets her full share, even if it reaches half the estate, as previously mentioned, and if there is something left, it goes to the paternal half-siblings. Among the cases in which there is something that may be left for the paternal half-siblings are the four cases judged by Zayd ibn Thabit, so they are called the four Zaydi cases. They are as follows. 1. The Ashariya, i.e. using a common denominator of 10, decimal. This case includes a paternal grandfather, one full sister, and one paternal half-brother. Though these persons are entitled to take five shares of the estate, it's called Ashariya, for a common denominator of 10 is considered in order to reach a natural number. the reason of considering a common denominator of 10, the full sister is entitled to take half the estate. However, there is no integer number resulting when dividing the number 5 shares. In order to settle this issue, 2 is to be multiplied by 5, the number of shares, so that it ends up as 10 shares. Thus, the paternal grandfather gets 2/5, 4 shares. The full sister gets half, 5 shares. The paternal half-brother gets the remaining 1 share. See the following table. Then he gives a table. 2. The ishriniya, the case depending on using a common denominator, 20. This is when there are a paternal grandfather, 1 full sister, and 2 paternal half-sisters. So the principle of division is 5, the number of shares, bearing in mind that a male's share equals that of 2 females, similar to the above case. That is, the paternal grandfather gets 2 shares through the mukasima, and the full sister gets half the estate. However, there is no integer resulting from dividing 5 shares by 2 to give the full sister her prescribed half. Therefore, for easier calculations, it is to be multiplied by 5, the number of shares, which results in 10 shares. So, the paternal grandfather gets 4 shares, 2 times 2 equals 4, and the full sister gets half the estate, namely 5 shares. After that, there is 1 share left that goes to the 2 paternal half-sisters, and it is to be equally divided between them. However, there is no integer by dividing such a remaining share. So 2 is to be multiplied by the 10, the first common denominator in this case. That results in 20, the new common denominator. In this way, the paternal grandfather's share is 8 shares. 4 times 2 is 8. And the full sister's share is 10 shares. 5 times 2 is 10. Then, the 2 paternal half-sisters get the remaining 2 shares. 2 times 1 is 2, i.e. 1 share for each. This can be illustrated in the following table. And then the author gives a table. Moreover, this issue can be settled by following another method. There are 5 shares. The paternal grandfather receives 2 through the mukasima. The full sister gets half the estate, namely 2.5 shares. Thus, there is only a half share remaining for the 2 paternal half-sisters. So each of the 2 half-sisters gets a 4th share. In order to avoid fractions, 4 is multiplied by 5, the number of shares, that results in 20 shares, i.e. using 20 as a common denominator. The paternal grandfather gets 8 shares, 2 times 4 is 8. The full sister gets half the estate, which equals 10 shares. The 2 paternal half-sisters get 2 shares, 1 for each. 3. The abbreviated case of Zaid. This case includes a mother, a paternal grandfather, 1 full sister, 1 paternal half-brother, and 1 paternal half-sister. It is so called because the common denominator in this case is 108, according to the mukasima, and it can be abbreviated through dividing it by 2, that results in 54. For more illustration, the main number of shares is 6, for the mother gets 1/6 of the estate, and the remaining 5/6 are divided among the paternal grandfather and the siblings through the mukasima. Therefore, there must be 6 shares according to their number. A male share equals a share of 2 females. However, the remaining 5/6 cannot be divided by 6. So 6, the common denominator, is to be multiplied by 6, their number of shares, so the result is 36 shares. The mother gets 1/6, namely 6 shares. The remaining shares are 5/6 of the estate, namely 36, of which the paternal grandfather gets 10 shares through the mukasima. The full sister gets half the estate, that equals 18 shares. The remaining 2 shares are to be divided among the paternal half-brother and the paternal half-sister. However, the 2 shares cannot be divided by 3, for the male gets double the share of the female. So 3 is multiplied by 36, and that results in 108 shares as a new denominator. Thus, the mother takes 18 shares. The paternal grandfather gets 30 shares. The full sister takes 54 shares. The paternal half-brother and paternal half-sister get 6 shares. The brother gets 4 shares, and the sister gets 2 shares. After doing such a calculation, we find that both the shares and the common denominator can be divided by 2, resulting in 54 as a new common denominator. Thus, the mother gets 9 shares, the full sister gets half the estate, namely 27 shares, the paternal grandfather gets 15 shares, the paternal half-brother gets 2 shares, and the paternal half-sister 1 share. See the following table. There's a table there. 4. The tis'iniyya of Zayd, i.e. the case depending on using a common denominator, 90. This case includes a mother, a paternal grandfather, 1 full sister, 2 paternal half-brothers, and 1 paternal half-sister. This is called tis'iniyya, as the common denominator in such a case is 90. The reason for using a common denominator, 90. 1/3 of the remainder of the estate, after giving 1/6 of the estate to the mother, is the best share for the paternal grandfather. That is, the common denominator between the 1/3 of the remainder and the 1/6 entitled to the mother is 18. Moreover, we can consider the common denominator 6 to specify 1/6 of the mother. After the mother gets 1/6, the remaining 5/6 do not have a third as a natural number, i.e. an integer. For easier calculations, we multiply 3 by 6, that results in 18 as a common denominator. The mother gets 1/6, that equals 3 shares, 3/18. The paternal grandfather gets 1/3 of the remainder, i.e. 5 shares, 5/18. The full sister gets half the estate, i.e. 9 shares. The remaining share cannot be divided among the paternal half-siblings. Therefore, 5, the number of sibling shares, as they are 2 males and a female, is to be multiplied by 18, the common denominator, that results in 90, the new common denominator. The mother gets 15 shares, the paternal grandfather gets 25 shares, the full sister gets 45 shares. The 2 paternal half-siblings get 5 shares, each of the 2 brothers gets 2 shares, and the sister gets the remaining 1 share. This can be illustrated through the two following tables. And then the sheikh gives the tables there. After elaborating on the issues and cases of inheritance, there is nothing left except what is related to the subject of inheritance calculation. It involves the topics of calculation, munasaha, and division of the estate, which are detailed in the books dedicated to tackling the prescribed shares of inheritance.
Like I said, everything that we've done right now is just a familiarization course of the how detailed this science is. Okay?
No.
And it, in my estimation, it deserves a private whole section to break it down in more detail and in explanation. And they've done that. They have it done this way. So, and even then, sometimes it takes more than one time. I know it took like 3 times for me before I even started to understand half of what was going on. Okay? And the numbers always got me. Like, where did we get this number from? How come we turned it into 10 and 20. Well, that was never really clear to me because of the math issue. But if you understand math, then that becomes easy.
No. Okay?
And if you understand the reason for this is because the inheritors are going to inherit less than double of what the grandfather is supposed to get. And there has to be a case where they get at least double of what the grandfather is supposed to get. So they adjust, like decreasing, adding shares and stuff like that, in order to give the main inheritors their rights, okay? And their right is to at least have double of what the ascendants have, okay? This is the wisdom behind this. All right, go to the next chapter, please.
Nah.
And it's just a short chapter, so just
Okay.
Go ahead. Go to it.
Chapter 16. Dividing prescribed shares according to assumption and precautionary procedures.
Right.
As for all the issues of inheritance discussed above, they relate to certainty of the death of the inherited person and certainty of existence of the inheritors. Those issues do not involve any problematic issues as regards to division of the estate. But here we will shed light on some problematic issues in which neither the case of the inherited person nor the case of the inheritor is decided. That is, there may be uncertainty concerning the existence of some heirs, such as the case of the fetus, drowned persons, those who are killed under collapsed buildings, missing persons, and the like. Moreover, such problematic issues may be related to the gender of the heirs, whether the heir is male or female, such as the case of the hermaphrodite and the fetus. Owing to the uncertainty in such cases, there are special chapters dedicated for such issues in the study of inheritance entitled the Chapters of Dividing Shares According to Assumption and Precautionary Procedures. They are as follows. 1. The Doubtful Hermaphrodite. 2. The Fetus. 3. The Missing Person. 4. The Drowned and Those Killed Under Collapsed Buildings.
So, here, some of those issues, like the drowned and those died in the building, it becomes an issue. Why? Because who died first determines what's and who's going to inherit what. You get my point?
Yes, sir.
So, certain assumptions have to be made in that regard. All the rest of it is pretty clear. You have a woman who's pregnant with a baby in, let's say, almost full term and stuff like that. So, you know, he's supposed to inherit, but you're not going to wait till he's born, right?
No. You're not going to wait till he's born to divide the inheritance, right?
Right. You're not going to wait. Okay.
No, I'm understood.
So these are some of the issues. Alhamdulillah, like I said, we're just at the tip of the iceberg when it comes to this chapter and the amount of detail that it goes into on particular issues. And as for me, I had to read it a number of times from different people and listen to it in order to get a grip, because, you know, people describe things in different ways and it helps you understand it when you hear it different, present it in different ways. Okay?
No.
Nowadays, there's a whole bunch out, so it should be much easier to pick it up when you hear it being explained in different ways. Allah knows best. Okay? I hope it becomes easier for you than it was for me when I first was exposed to this strange chapter of issues.
this series of chapters really kind of floored me, the level of complexity from the paternal grandfather. Like, up until now, it's been complex, but you can kind of take it and understand bit by bit, but this one has just been like so many cases.
Yeah, and then so many considerations. And that's because you have so many, you can't count how many siblings they're going to be and stuff like that. Even this, what they did is just a small amount. Okay?
That's right.
Yes, sir. Just think about the situations when you have six siblings or six half siblings and stuff like that, you know? And what is a half sibling?
A half sibling, well, it could be either paternal or maternal.
We're talking about paternal here.
Oh.
Starting point is always paternal.
Nah.
What is it? How is this half sibling?
Same father, but different mother.
Right. And that could be a lot, couldn't it?
Just to find
You
that
could
out, you
have,
mean?
no, just to, I mean, a lot of children.
Yes, sir. It could be a lot.
Yeah. You can have a bunch of children from one mother and a bunch of children from another mother. Okay? And then you have a de another wife with children from her, and the person passes away, and he has three children that are considered full-blooded because he's tied, he's married to her, their mother. Okay? But all the rest are considered half because he's not married to their mothers anymore, right? They're all half. Okay?
No.
Or how are we going to determine who's the half brother and sister if you got 10 children who are from the same mother and father, another set of 10 children from the same mother and father, and a third set of 10 children with the same mother and father? I mean, you get my point? But the third group is the mother is the still married. Okay?
Yes.
But all the other ones, they each one of them, they got brothers and sisters that are from the same mother and father as well. Who's half brother here? That's always been the issue with me. How do we determine that? Okay, so Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. The hermaphrodite thing, I thought that was something that kept us awake in class. Because, yeah, I mean, it's because it's one of those funny duddy issues. You say, okay, something weird here that is so different that you're going to remember that. Okay, and because I really, at that time, hadn't heard that there were so many of these types of people. I already heard about it. But you never really believe that there's people like that too much. But as I've gotten older, I realize that there are a significant amount of people who could be this way. Okay? And how in the past it could have been assumed that certain women were that way when they actually weren't. Okay? Because of physiological understandings.
What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't want to sound, weird, but in medicine, you have some women have a large clitoris, and it can be seen by some as being a small penis.
Wow.
And so it could be considered that this woman is a hermaphrodite. Especially if the woman is an ugly woman or a big woman. Does that make sense?
I see. Yes, sir.
And so when you read the books of fiqh, as you get go on, you'll see this type of thing. And then, working in medicine, you'll come across so many women who have this situation, and you'll start to wonder, or I began to wonder, were those people actually hermaphrodites, or was it because of social understandings at the time? You get my point?
I understand.
So, there's so much to break apart or that you can be exposed to and understand, and I guess assumptions that were made, and especially if people were. Or mannish, or if the guy was timorous, and all their body language and all that stuff like that makes a difference as well. Anyway, Allahu Alam. These are some very high, intense issues because you have to remember, always remember the backdrop. The backdrop of all of this is that their loved one just passed away, and they're talking about dividing up his property. So there's a sense of sensitivity, of loss of life, and a sense of greed and me too. Okay, and a sense of entitlement at the same time. And so that doesn't make for any good type of situation. People are so sensitive and watching to see what the other ones get and feeling entitled for it themselves. Does that make sense what I'm saying?
Yes, sir. You really have to have a cool head.
Not just a cool head. You have to be trusted by them, and your siyasa, your politics, and making everyone feel that they have their rights are being vouchsafed has to be, you know, projected very well for them to trust your Mokasima. You understand? Because they're not going to understand this. They're not going to go through this and say, oh, well, you know, he's supposed to get the da-da-da. Oh, no, this is not that case. No, they don't want to hear that. They never heard of Mu'adda before in their life. Or Muqasima or any of this stuff for the most part. And don't care. What you mean I'm not getting something? What you mean I got to share this small amount with this? Why he getting something? I thought that I was supposed to. Nah, we the children. Follow me?
Yes, sir.
We the first ones, a lot of times the older ones believe they have more right. Okay? Our mother was the first wife. We're not half sisters and brothers. We're full brothers. This is our father. All the rest of them people came later. So may Allah make it easy for us.
Oh, I just got what you meant by full brothers versus paternal half brothers. Because from the perspective, if the deceased leaves behind a bunch of children from different women, then from whose perspective is it considered? They're all his
That's
children.
Right. That's right. You understand now?
Nah, yes, they're all his children. There's no half children. There might be a half brother or a full brother from the perspective of the deceased.
Yeah, but whose perspective is going to be taken here?
Right. Well, it wouldn't be any perspective. From the sense of when it comes to the children, then they're just daughters and sons. They're not half sons or half daughters. I think I get it now.
Let me say it again, then. Look, a bunch of children. What makes them half brothers and sisters is that they don't share the same mother or they don't share the same father, right?
Right.
It's even more difficult when they share the same mother and they don't share the same father. Because they're all full on to their moms, right?
Right.
Without any doubt. You know, so what do you mean you have here? We all got different fathers here. What do you do with that? A woman that has three children from three different men. They're all considered half children, aren't they?
Yes, sir.
Okay, now I'm saying the father has deceased and he's left behind 30 children from five different women. Okay, and he was still married to two of those women. Which children are considered the full brother and sister when five sets of children are brothers and sisters with the same mother and father? And two sets of children are still, their mamas were still married to the father.
No, that could be tricky, really.
No, it is definitely tricky. Okay? Because just with the two that are still married to the father, let's count them as 10. Which set are you going to say is, in their eyes, illegitimate and not full brothers and sisters? Because that's what the living here. That's what they understand it as. You telling us we're not legitimate heirs? We off-brand heirs? You feel me? Why they getting more than us and we got the same father? How they getting precedence over us and we the oldest ones? Okay. You understand?
I understand their perspective, but I don't see why they would get more if they're, because they're all his sons and daughters, right? They're not half sons. They're all full
right,
sons
but
and full daughters.
But you see what they say, that the full brothers and sisters block out the half ones, right?
Right, but I understood that. Wasn't that talking about the brothers and sisters of the deceased?
Half brothers and sisters, or yeah.
Of the deceased, so not his children,
right.
Because all of his children are full children.
Yeah, you got me. That's right. I'm confusing the issue now. Astaghfirullah al-Azim. Nah, I confuse the issue from children. I went from brother, sister to children. I better be quiet because my eyes are hurting me now. even from that perspective, they'll be understanding that. That's going to be easy for them to understand. You understand?
No,
from the brothers and sisters' perspective, because they have the same father or mother and everything like that. That's so totally different. Alhamdulillah.
No.
All right. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك.
الحمد لله. جزاك الله خير شيخ. And thank
وعليكم
you all for السلام
ورحمة الله.
No, Jazakallah khair, and thank you all for joining us today on Outlining Fiqh. We learned a lot, but let's not rush things. If hadith, usul, and histories are still partially clouded in mysteries, then refrain yourself from speaking, for what can you teach? To have little knowledge and teach is to cheat. Go back to the graph and the knowledge within. There are 38 chapters to finish. Let's begin.